Right. Exactly. So we're picking up now, and then we did very quickly one more, the Olam Haba, Olam Hazeh one, and we were up to Meitveh Rabbi Yehuda Omer. And this brings us back to Pesach topic. So, Meitveh, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bodkin, or Larbasar, Uvarbasar Shachrit, Uvishat HaBi'ur. Right, so Rabbi Yehuda says that you can check on Or of the 14th, and then in the 14th during the day, and at the time of Bi'ur, the time of destruction. So the Gemara says, Mitika Amar, Rabbi Yehuda Botkin, Or Arba Asar. Uva Arba Asar Shacharit, since he contrasts Or Arba Asar, and then Arba Asar in the morning, Alma Or Urtahu. So it makes it very clear that at least in this context, Or is night, because it's saying night, and if you don't do night, the day. Right? Gemara says, you're right, Shmamina. You're right. It's clear that in this context, or means night. Okay? Now, we will come back to it. We'll come back to this question. But, as I said, one of the big questions I want to talk about is, if you remember, this was Mordechai's question a few days ago, is what is the uniqueness of Arba Asar? Right? Or you could look at the whole halacha of the 14th as it must be on the 14th or by the 14th. Now this may, and there may be a difference, and I'm not sure there is, but there might be, we'll see that possibly in the Ravid there is, a difference between Or Arba Asar and Or Le Arba Asar. We're going to see that the Ravid is going to have a unique shita in the sugya that we'll see this. Well, we'll see, or it might, well, we're going to see what the Ravid says in the context of the Lashon Nikiyah sugya, where he's going to assume that we use Or in a very specific way here, which has to do with what time of night you do it. And he argues, as we'll see, that Or means only a very specific type of night. Time of night, like not all night, but the beginning of the night, when it's still, there's still some residual light outside, but it's not day, but it's, right, but there's still Or, and that's why it has that language, and we're going to see, and we'll see. We're not going to do that now. We're not going to do it yet, right? Once we get to Lashon Nikiyah, I'm going to bring in that Raven, and then we're going to talk about 14 specifically, but just keep that in mind. Okay, and then the Gemara says, Meitveh. So this is a sugya later on. This is the topic that Shira is working on now. Is the prohibition / minhag of doing melacha, of performing melacha on the 14th. So the Mishnah says, so when on the 14th does melacha become prohibited? And we may do this sugya later in the year. It's really up to you guys if you want to do this. This sugya is a very interesting sugya, as we'll see. It's one of these cases where the Isser Malacha from Chatzot and on Pesach is Asur Mi'ikar Hadin, like from the letter of the law is Asur. And then the Minag extends to the morning, right? That's the case of the fourth parak in Pesachim, of Makom Shenagu. Right, the whole fourth paragraph is about minhagim, and this is the starting point, right? Which is in a place where the minhag is to X, or the custom is to X, then you do X, and minhag do Y is Y. And then the question of what the nature of this malacha, isra malacha, is. Why is it asra malacha? And as we'll see, there's a machlok get rishonim about it. Is it connected to Karban Pesach? Is it something else? But at any rate, in that mission, again, if you guys are interested, we'll come back to this. When on the 14th does it become prohibited to do melacha? Realize Rabbi Yaakov or Mishat Haor. From the time of light. Now, what is it? And Rabbi Yehuda or Mishat Hanei Tachaba. Yehuda says from sunrise. Now, before I go on, just so you see, like I said, we can come back to this, but if you just look at Tosfot for a second, Tosfot here says, Peirush Rashi Asur B'sit Melacha B'Makom Shenagu. Right, so based on what I had said, you should have asked me a question, which is, as I said, the way the Mishnah presents it in the fourth Perek is that from Chatzodin on, it becomes Asur to do Melacha from the letter of the law. Right, in the morning, it's only based on Minhag. What's the problem? What's the line that it quotes here? Or Mishat Har, which clearly means the morning, sometime before Chatzot. And what's the problem? The Mishnah called the Gemara quotes this Braita that calls it Asur. What's the problem with saying that it's Asur? It's a minhag. It's only Asur from Chatzot. So Rashi says Asur Basiyat Malachav Makom Shenagu. It means Asur where the minhag is not to do it, which of course is important to realize simply because that blurs the line between minhag and halacha, right? That for everyone who said, well, it's not really usur, it's just a minhag. Rashi has no problem saying that something that's usur only mishum minhag is still called usur. However, the re says, any other re.
Does or here mean sundown
and no, well, no. The Einir Lari, just one second, the Pragmagam Shinago, Much Behedimuda Itle Isura Vilo Minhaga. He says, no. This is within the position of Yehuda, because Yehuda thinks it's Asura, not a Minhag. V'od Tani Tana Isura of Adamar Minhaga. And furthermore, there the Gemara specifically says, how can you call something Asura? It's only a Minhag. V'od Nechzi Heichi Nahuk Lekach. So he has three critiques. One is that this is within Rabbi Yehuda, and Yehuda in fact says it's Asura. Second is, he disagrees with Rashi and doesn't think you're allowed to use the language of usur to describe a minhag. And the third is that he doesn't think that formalities should apply to minhag. He says, how can you tell me the isur starts at this time if it's based on a minhag? If it's based on a minhag, when does the isur start? No. No. When people are accustomed not do it. Where he says, you can't tell me when it starts if it's based on a custom. If it's based on a custom, then when does the prohibition take effect? Whenever people are accustomed to stop working. If they stop working at 9:28 in the morning in your city, then that's when it would be usur.
You're saying you wouldn't say there's a prohibition after the custom, you'd say there's a custom.
So he has three possibilities. First of all, he wouldn't use the word usur. And second, he doesn't think that formalities would apply. And therefore, to say it starts at this time, what do you mean it starts at this time? It starts wherever you want it to start, if it's based on custom. Now, like I said, we can come back to this in the fourth perek, because that's really where minhag is dealt with. But just in this little machloket Rashi and Tosafot, you see a lot of points where Rashi is much more willing to call a minhag usur, to use formal language. Second of all, Rashi seems to have no problem saying that the minhag will have formal components to it. Right? That even, right? First of all, he uses formal language of usur. Second of all, Rashi has no problem saying that when does the prohibition of the minhag start? At some formal time that we define as the day. As opposed to Tosafot, who said, I don't understand. If it's a minhag, it starts whenever you want it to start. Right? It starts wherever, if your community does it at sunrise, it's at sunrise. If it does it at night, it's at night. If it does it at 8:13, it's at 8:13. If it's at 9:48, it's at 9:48. Right? Like, what is the difference? And you see this divergence between Rashi and Tosafot of how formally you treat minhagim and how close they are to law. Therefore, this must be within the positions that this is asur from the letter of the law, and that's why we can use the language, and that's why we can debate formalities. I'm just looking straight at Tosafot here, the second Tosafot where he summarizes this machloket. See that Tosafot meimatai? All the time, because he argues in Rashi. He said, this is Rashi's position, I disagree. So he says, so the main sugya is in the fourth parak, which is why I don't want to go all the way into it now, but just from here you see how many issues come up, again, right? How formally you take minhag, and the like, okay? But at any rate, the Gemara says, I don't understand. So Amar Yilei B'Rozim and Yaakov, B'Rozim and Yaakov had said to Yehuda, V'chi heicha metzino yom she miksato asur v'asiyat melach, or miksato mutar v'asiyat melach. All right, so what does or here mean? According to Rabbi Elazar, no, Amur HaShachar. Right, Amur HaShachar. No. What does he say to Rabbi Yehuda? Correct. Anytime you have something with usur, it's all or nothing. Heichan matin yom shemitzadu azar matin melacha matzadu mudar matzit melacha. Amar lei, he said, then what do you mean? Hu atzmi yochiyach. The day itself will prove to you that you can have partial day yisurim. Shemitzadu mudar b'achilat chametz, shemitzadu azar b'achilat chametz. Now this, obviously, again, on this daf, you get a lot of sort of mini sugyas, each of which we can choose to return to if you want. And Rabbi Yehuda says, what do you mean? Of course, we can have a case of an Isra Malacha that only lasts half a day. How do I know? Because on Erev Pesach, there's another half day Isra, and that's called eating chametz. Now, again, without getting too far into the sugya, what is already striking about that? What is Rabbi Yehuda assuming? What? Then the Isser of Chametz and Erev Pesach is, well, that's for sure assuming, but what is it assuming in this comparison? That in some reason they're connected, right? That the fact that Chametz is also half a day tells us that somehow the Isser Malacha can last half a day. Why would that be the case? Why should they be connected? No, it says, Hu Atzmo Yochiyah, right? That day will prove that you can have. Okay, good. So Kobe says, there's no conceptual connection between the Isser Malacha and Erev Pesach and the Isser of eating chametz and Erev Pesach. It's just like, we're already talking about Erev Pesach. How are you telling me we don't have half day Yisurim? Look, there are half day Yisurim. I'm pointing to one. Okay, good. That's one possibility. How else might you read him?
The idea of having an Isser for half the day before Pesach already exists. You see it from the stage.
Good, right? So the other possibility is what Mordechai says. No. Rabbi Yehuda isn't making a general argument. There's such a thing as a half-day prohibition. He's arguing that on Erev Pesach, there can be a half-day prohibition. Oh, so then you'll say, well, what about other days? So what will you have to say? What Mordechai push it farther. Why would it prove? Why would it be a particularly good proof to show that Erev Pesach has prohibitions for half a day? If, what? So you could just say generically, Pesach is Chamor. Or, you could do that. And this is the question. Is it generic? Or is it just Pesach is Chamor? Or is there a connection between what? The Isser of eating Chametz and Erev Pesach and the Isser Malach and Erev Pesach. So you could, okay, so now we would have to ask, well, if they're connected, how are they connected? There's two ways they could be connected. I didn't mean like that. There's either a causal connection or a correlative connection, right? What's the difference in causation and correlation? What? Meaning causation means... No, what in general? What is causation? Stop, does that. What does causation mean? Yeah, causation is stronger, right? Causation and correlation. Correlation means they happened to, right? Right, correlate, but either they're not connected at all, or they are connected by a third factor, right? But A doesn't actually cause B, right? No, causation is stronger. No. Causation is, right? No. No, other way around. No, causation, right? So these could be causally related, which is what Kobe was suggesting. Oh, there's something about the prohibition of chametz that itself will make it that you can't do malacha. Now that seems a little bit weird. But they might correlate to a third factor, which is the causation of both, which is what is not eating chametz on Erev Pesach after Chatzot linked to? The Korban Pesach, Lo Tishchat al Chametz Dam Zivchi. Right? Right? Because it could be that the fact that I can't, that why is it that everybody agrees that after Chatzot you can't do Malacha? So it might be connected to the fact that that's when you have to bring the Korban, and you need to be involved in bringing the Korban. And it could be that, well, we know that the bringing of the Korban Pesach prohibits Chametz. That's a Pasuk. right? And yeah, and are there no limitations on malacha before Shabbat? That's not true. Of course there are. So it's not an all-inclusive, but travel, right? You're not supposed to travel after Chatzot, right? Because you might accidentally get caught and show up here after Shabbat starts flying from a foreign country. You might do that. It might happen, right? You know, things like that. You're not supposed to travel. I understand, but... yeah, that'd be great. So, but yeah, meaning my point is that one of the major, major questions, and again, I'm sort of giving away some of the lumdos, but here maybe I'm being terrible and I'm counting on you to forget. No, not this. I'm just saying. Great. Are you allowed to eat a meal on Erev Pesach? Are you? After Chatzot? What is the first Mishnah in the 10th Perek? Erev Sachem Samachlo Mincha Lo Yochal Adam Ad Shetechshach. Now, admittedly, it's not a Chatzot, but the point is, will it car? And this is the beauty of correlation: is if something else is causing it, do you think you might find a lot of different right ramifications? 100%, you might. You can eat things; you just can't eat chametz or matzah. That's the only thing you can't eat in Erev Pesach: chametz or matzah. What? No, just chametz and matzah. The only thing you can't eat in Erev Pesach. No, what do you mean? It's because hopefully we'll get to this at some point during the year. But the Rishalmi is like, no, don't you know why you can't eat matzah on Erev Pesach? Yeah, that would be the nice way of saying it. The Rishalmi is quite, where's Ellie? I need Ellie to walk in punk right now, right? The Gemara says, the Yerushalmi says, you can't eat matzah on Erev Pesach. It's kiboel arusato beveit chamav.
What?
It's like sleeping with your the person that you're engaged to in your father-in-law's house.
In your
father-in-law's house. That is the Yerushalmi's description. Yes. Nope, not Ellie. Oh, well. But yes, and that's the Yerushalmi. So, my point is that one of the major questions you have to ask on this and the whole sugya in the fourth perek is there's a lot of things happening in Erev Pesach, and the question is, do they all happen to happen in Erev Pesach? Right? Or is there one cause that, right? Is there one cause that explains all these different halachot? And now Kobe says, wait a second, what are nowadays? And guess what? You think it's a machloket rishonim whether the Isra Malacha applies nowadays? What do you think? Take a wild guess.
No, it's a machloket.
What? Yes, of course it is. Because if it's taluy in the karban, so it wouldn't apply. And if it's taluy in something else, then it still would. Guess what? That is a machloket rishonim. Where would you get such a notion? And now you understand. Kobe, see, this makes me very happy. Because Kobe, right, you've been in my shir for a year, and I told you, after you're in my shir, you'll be able to predict, without realizing it, all the main machloket rishonim, and kahafa, right? That is exactly the point. That is exactly it. What? What? But you can predict that. That's exactly it, is that if you learn how to think about the sugya, right? Right now I'm just doing basic thought experiments as we go through, okay? As we'll get closer, right, as we go on in the Sechla, we'll analyze it more. Let me just finish this example. Just give me a second. So the Gemara says, So me the gomer of you the Mishara and Eitzachama Alma or the Gomer Elijah and Yaakov Urtahu. So doesn't that imply that or here means night and the machloket is night and day? So the Gemara says, nah, lo, my or, I'm on a shachar. Maybe they both agreed it's morning. What are they arguing about? Whether by day we mean dawn or we mean hanetz. 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 Come on, you've been here long enough to know that. Hanetz. Why is it hanetz and not nates? Why is it, right? When you daven at sunrise, why is it called hanetz and not nates? Hanetz achama, not nates achama, but hanetz achama. Yeah, what's the grammar? Good. What's the grammatical point? No, it's because the hay is not a hay. It's not exactly. It's part of the verb. Hanetz. Hey, harimonim. It's part of the verb, right? It means the. Yeah, that's why. It's not because it's not the. It's not the sun rising. Hanetz is the verb. Hanetz achama, the rising of the sun. That's why. What? The shorish is what? The shorish, no, it's part of the verb. It's like in Shashir, he netsu arimonim. It's causative, correct. Yeah, it's a hey like a hefiel. Correct. Probably nun, I'm not sure. Nun bav tzadi, probably, yeah. Nun yitzah, something like that, I'm not sure. No, not the shorish, but the word. It's not a prefix. It is, but it's part of the verb. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Now, there is a problem here, which... Hanetz Achama is sunrise, yes. And now, there is a different problem here, and that is, this is a weird machloket, because... What? Well, no, it's a weird machloket because we actually have a general rule. When do day halachot start? No, those are halachot that start at night. I'm trying to think if we learned this last year such that I can make you feel guilty, but I don't think. I think I did it 2 years ago. You should. It's a Mishnah. It is not actually, not the programmatic one. I'm trying to open it up. The internet is weak because I would like to read it to you. Open. It's Megillah, Perek Bet, Mishnah, Vav. Vav. Zah. Right, so the general rule is kol ayom kasher lekriyat Megillah, lekriyat Halel, etc. Kol zaklal davar shem zeh yom kasher kol ayom davar shem zeh laila kasher kol halayla. Right, we have rules that anything that the mitzvah is at during the day, so it's kasher the whole day, and when is the day defined for those purposes? Amud HaShachar. So it would be very weird to have a day halacha that is not based on Amud HaShachar, right? And whose critique is that? Who said what I just said? No, the Gemara. That's Rabbi Huda's point, right? That's Rabbi Elazar's point. How could you have a day that only part of it is Usur? Why is he saying only part of it? Because it starts at Amud HaShachar. No, because any day halacha... The Gemara is Hava Amina, right? The Hava Amina of the Gemara was that he was saying at night. The Gemara then says, no, it's not night, it's Amud HaShachar. Why is he calling something that starts? He says it must be Amud HaShachar because it can't be Hanetz, because if it's Hanetz, then it's only part of a day. Why? Because all day halachot started Amud HaShachar, and therefore he doesn't understand why it's Hanetz, right? That's why he critiques Rabbi Yehuda. Go on, pay attention, people. Right? Right, again. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar says, or. Rabbi Yehuda says, Hanetz Achama. Rabbi Elazar says, how can you have a halacha that's only part of the day? So the Gemara says, what does he mean? Does he mean night? Well, that makes sense if you think that you can't have any halacha that's a part day, because if you do it at night, if the Isra halacha starts at night, then it's the whole day. And the Gemara says, no, no one thinks it's also at night. What do they think? One second, what do they think? It's during the day. But he doesn't like Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda says it only takes effect at Hanait. And he says, how could you do something that's only part of the day? Why is he critiquing him by saying that's only part of the day? Because normally, when do mitzvot start if they start during the day? At dawn. And that's why he says dawn. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it is Hanait, which of course forced you to ask, why is Rabbi Yehuda arguing? So why could he be arguing in theory? Either because he thinks Hanait is day, right, is the beginning of the day, or because he thinks that this halacha is different. Oh, and why would this halacha be different? Which of those reads of Rabbi Yehuda is better? The second, because he said so. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, don't worry about it. This Isser is only a part day Isser. And therefore, that's why it can start in the middle of the day. Right? Pay attention to the words, people. No, that's just the Mishnah. The Mishnah just has a klal there. Yes. And then it says klal, klal. I don't know. I've given up. I was like, now I'm holding my place this way. Shvaria divides it by lines. So now I'm scrolling so that I know where I am because I'm getting lost in the questions. Yeah?
So whether Rabbi Eliezer says night or dawn,
of whether or means night or day? The Gemara assumes that or means day, because he means. Yeah. So now the Gemara says, "Iyachi the Gemara lehecham etzini yom shukzato muter basiz malacha muktzato azar basiz malacha nemi yul nafshei ha'ika laila dekasher v'lasher ben Yaakov." The Gemara says, "Wait a second. Once you say that it's a part day, so according to everybody, because this malacha is only during the daytime, which is only part of the halachic day, then." How can you tell me that Yisurim only apply for full days? Even Relezer agrees that it's not a full day. So what does the Gemara answer? Hachi ka amar bishlam elidi diashkechana dekum palgi rabbanan ben yiman lelelia. He said, listen, the day-night division is normal, right? He's not really saying that you can't have a halacha that only applies to part of the day. What's he saying? It has to be a normal break. So there are halachot that only apply during the daytime, and there are halachot that apply all day and all night. But there are no halachot that apply during the day and only part of the day. So he says, listen, the night-day division, we have, for example, Tainus. Hachi kamar bishlam lididi ashkechana de kapalge rabbanu beni mamel lelio. Gavei tainet tzibor ad mateo chavashot ad shiala morashacha. Because you are allowed to eat until dawn. Divir lazer min Yaakov. Rishimon Amar ad krot hagever, and Rishimon says no until the calling of the rooster, which is even earlier than dawn.
Wait, is it dawn then sunrise?
No. Yes.
What's in between dawn and sunrise?
Okay. Dawn is when the light starts coming into the sky, and sunrise is when the sun comes above the skyline. You can see the sun, not just light. Dawn is light, right? And sunrise is the sun.
How does the rooster know?
How do you know?
Because the rooster is brilliant.
Because the rooster is brilliant. Come on, you say a bracha about it every day. That God gives wisdom to the rooster. Which at least according to half Rishonim, means the rooster. Roosters are smart. I don't know. They wake you up. What? What's subjective? The rooster is very, very predictable. Yes, I have heard roosters. They're very predictable. Yes. Well, if you lock it in a room, it's dark, you can confuse it, yes. Then other roosters. It's a time, not this rooster. It's not until Teddy the rooster crows. It's the roosters. Exactly. Alalidigach, but he says it. But he said, according to you, Hecha Ashkechana Yemama Gufe de Palge Re Rabbanon. When do you ever have that the day itself you divide? So Amar Lei, and to that he answered, Hu Atzmo Yochiach, that Pesach, Erev Pesach, is itself a special case. Shemiksatu Mutar Bachilat Chametz, Shemiksatu also Bachilat Chametz, where the day itself is divided in terms of eating Chametz. So Shapir Kamalei Rabbi Huda Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara says, that's a good question. That's a good proof. That's good. So the Gemara says, no, Hachkim Lerazer, Amina Lacha, Anam Alacha Derabbanan, Vat Amar Li Chametz Doraita. He says, I don't understand. Chametz is an Isser Doraita. God can set whatever arbitrary standards he wants. God wants to set an Isser Chametz for 6 hours of the day. God can do that. If he wanted to set the Isser Chametz for 17 minutes, he could do that too. God does. I don't ask kashas on God. I'm asking questions on rabbis. Rabbis, we're supposed to like come up with formal things that don't confuse you, right? So he says the Isser Malacha is derabbanan. Right? V'idach, and he said, and Rabbi Yehuda says, eh, shod midirabbanan. He says, nah, rabbis do it also. How do I know? Because, right, exactly, because at chatzot, on Erev Pesach, chametz becomes asher midaraita. But the rabbis start prohibiting it before that, at the fourth hour, and the fifth hour, and the sixth hour. So, aha! And now, in a basically unintelligible sentence to me, in many ways, Rilazar says, you just showed me a case where the rabbis actually divide things in the middle of the day? That's not a proof! It's true, but the rabbis there were protecting the Doraita, so that doesn't count. So obviously, isn't that what rabbis always do? The answer might be no. Right? That might be exactly the point. Because sometimes what are the... and that's exactly, I think, what Rilazar is getting at, is that some rabbinic laws are what we call siagim, that are protective of the Doraita, and other ones are mitzvot, are takanot, set up their own values. And it could be that that's exactly what Lars are saying. He's saying, listen, if it's a protective law, so then it can be, it doesn't have to be a whole day formal, because what's its role?
To protect
the Doraita. So how do you set it up?
You
set it up in a way that it'll protect the law, right? But what about what? What? So Eitan says, but isn't not doing Malach and Erev Pesach a protective law? Maybe or maybe not, because that was the question that I asked before. Very good. Okay, and that is why... Guys, so you do see, I am not like giving away the whole sugya now, because it really is a fourth parak sugya, but you see how all the questions of what is the nature of the Yisrael Malach and Erev Pesach, what is it connected to, all those questions, and whether it's protective or independent, connected to carbon, not connected to carbon, connected to chilas, matzah, v'chametz, or not.
And if it's not connected, what's the function?
And now you understand that that's all the questions you're going to have to be asking in the fourth para. Could we do the whole sugya now? We could. I've listened to some shirim where someone basically learned the whole sugya now. I just don't know why. There's a whole parak devoted to this, right? So I feel like now is not the right time to do more than raise the questions. But we can come back to it, or we can jump to it. I don't care. Like I said, I'm pretty open to taking this wherever you want. I do think we should cover a few blot in the first parak, but after like Dav Zion, after we get to the brachot sugya, I'm really, you know, which I think you guys will like and are very beneficial, right? I'm happy to go to any. So I don't know. We might do chazid l'shem chazid l'shem before that. Meaning, depending on how close we get to Rosh Hashanah, we might take a day off and do that. But I'm saying I would like to cover the first 6-7 blot of the first parak.
Okay,
and then after that, if you guys want to, you can tell me what you guys should start thinking what you want to learn. Like, if you want to continue the first parak the whole year, we could do that. If you want to jump to another parak, we can do that. You know, start deciding. Because one of the nice things about this daf is you're getting a taste of what exists in other prakim. So here's the problem. The first parak is 21 blot, right? But the last few daf of the first parak are the hardest dafim in all of Shas by a landslide, right? See? Yes.
Why are they hard?
As Moshe told me before, the advice from my Targum is learn all of Shas first, and then come back to Rav Chanina Skanakonim, which is those last few dapim in the first parak. They are the most difficult, and in my humble opinion, they are indeed the most complicated dapim in all of Shas by quite some. That's a good question. If I knew, they're about Tarot. It's about Tarot, specifically.
Oh, you
read that a lot. Shani, Shlishi, Revi'i, Latoma, and mixing them, and what happens when you're burning a mixture of one thing, which is a Rishon Latoma, and one which is a Shlishi Latoma, but Chulin can't become a Shlishi Latoma, but you have Karbon mixed in, and Karbon can become a Revi'i, but Truma can only become Shlishi, and now you're destroying it, and it's after Chatzot, and Erev Pesach, and it's like... I will tell you that in my humble opinion, there is no sugya in Bavli, Yerushalmi, Tosefta, Midrash Halacha, or Midrash Haggadah, as far as I have seen at this point in my life, that rivals Rishchin is going to go on him. But Moshe is teaching it next week, so good luck to Moshe. If you can do those dapim and really understand them, then you can do anything. No, I don't. I keep looking for a sugya that's worse, and I have yet to find one. You would think, but Yavamot didn't bother me so much. Or Erevin. Neither of them bothered me so much. But Rav Chanina Skanakonim, sort of like twitch, you know. Look, Tarot is just that area of halacha that never seems to get easier to me. I don't know. It's a chisaron in me. I don't know. I know, you told me. And I told you, it's hard. It's definitely a chisaron in me. But many other areas of halacha become easier the more I learn them. And Tarot, for some reason, just doesn't. Anyways, so now the Gemara continues. Meitvei, ein masi, en masod ela ala chodesh en yireh bizmano likadesho. You only do the torches on the mountaintops for Rosh Chodesh if it's on the 30th, but not the 31st day. Right? You remember this, Sugya? So yeah, you all know this from Rosh Hashanah, right? Yes?
Yes?
Yes? Okay. This is everyone's favorite Sugya. So yeah, favorite. This is why, like, all rabbis I know love this one scene in The Lord of the Rings, even if they don't know anything else, when they use the torches on the mountains to signal things from Gondor to Rohan, right? Because they just light all the bonfires along the mountaintops. So that, you only do that if the Rosh Chodesh is on the 30th. The Eimat Daimat Eimat Zod, and when do you do it? Lo'or Iburo. At Or. Now, when do you do it? Day or night?
Or.
Night, obviously. Alma Or Urtahu. Shema Mina. Now this is Akasha on The Lord of the Rings. The Lord of the Rings, they do it during the day, and somehow people noticed it. I don't know. Clearly wrong. No, that's not the problem here. The problem is that they're Mekadesh L'Chodesh. Yeah. Who's their rabbi?
So they can understand the example he used for the Gemara, which was a different Gemara, but I just found...
Because I know Rav Mordechai in the Gush likes that line. Who in the Gush really likes it? Now I got to go back and check. I'll go visit and I'll ask. I'll find.
Told them they have to watch the entire thing for this one scene. I don't remember what the scene is.
Yeah, I think I said that too. Now the question is, who said it in Gush? Okay, I'll find out. What? I did. Yes. Meitvei ha'omid kol laila makrav al mizbeach. If you're awake all night and you're bringing karbon on the mizbeach, so le'ora ta'on kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, at or you need to wash your hands again. And now this is a fascinating halacha, which is why you need kiddush yadayim v'raglayim again in the morning, even if you've been up all night doing avoda. Which is both an interesting question of what the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim is, what the nature of day and night is in the Mikdash, what the nature of Avodah at night is. 10 different sugyas all wrapped up in one. I, but there you see that or clearly means the day, because you're washing at the beginning of the new day. So now in a very satisfying answer, the Gemara says, Ora shiny. No, Ora is different than Or. Please, please, those are completely different words. Don't you know that Ora means morning, but Or means night? Then that is what it means. Okay, good. Mechve. Okay, Mechve. The Gemara then says, Mechve, Mar Zutra. Hamapelet or lishmonim ve'echad ve'chamay brought me carbon of it hillel machayven. Okay, so I'm going to try to explain this to you. I hope you understand. Okay, so here's the halacha. After a woman gives birth, she becomes tmei'ah for
81
days. No, if she gives birth to a boy, then she's tmei'ah for 7 days. Then she has 33 days of yemei tahara, where her blood is tahora, at least vis-a-vis her husband. But she, and then at the end, on day 41, she brings a karban, and then she's allowed to return to the mikdash. If it's a girl, it's 1466, 81, right? After 80 days, so day 81, she comes, right? No, she's not allowed to touch, like truma and stuff like that, and mikdash and all that. What happens with, now what happens if a woman gives birth and then, let's say, miscarries, right, becomes pregnant again and miscarries before the end of 80 days? So what's the halacha? Mapelet. Mapelet is to miscarry. So then what's the halacha? Right, she doesn't have to bring a different karban because it gets swallowed up in the original, right? But here's the stuff. Here's the machloket b'Hillel Beis Shammai. What if she miscarries on the 81st day at night? What's the problem? Meaning after the 80 days, she brings the karban on day 81. So 81st night. The first child, not the miscarriage. She miscarries on day at night on day 81 after having the child. Got it? Doug, a girl, yes. With a boy, it would be 40, but that's very unlikely. 80 is hard enough, right? It's hard enough for, it is not unheard of. People do have babies 10 months apart, right? And change, right? But like, you know what I'm saying? 10 is rare. 11 months, a little bit less rare. Let's assume it's a girl. It's easier. What? And a bit. Yeah, that's possible. She can become pregnant. No, she gives birth, and then she becomes pregnant again. And then miscarries. Yeah. And my point is that if you have two babies that are 11 months apart, right? That means that the conception was 2 months after the birth of the first one. I'm saying that's possible. Yeah, okay, I'm not getting into too complicated. Let's leave it too complicated for a minute. Point is that this happens at the 81st day at night. So now there's Machloket Beit Hillel Beit Shammai. According to Beit Hillel, it is day 81. So Beit Shammai says, since you haven't brought the karban yet, because you bring it only the next morning, this miscarriage is swallowed up within the obligations of the first birth, and therefore she doesn't have to bring a second karban. She can be yotzei both, the one she brings that morning, on day 81. Right? And Beit Hillel says, since it is now day 81, she's no longer within the 80 days. So even though she couldn't bring the karban because you can't bring the karban at night, it's already the time to bring the karban, which means that the second baby is distinct from the first baby, and therefore she has to bring two karbanot, one for the girl and one for this miscarried fetus. Then they would agree. So Amar Beit Hillel Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel is Beit Shammai. Mashna or Shmonim Ve'echad. Miyam Shmonim Ve'echad. Beit Hillel says, why do you distinguish between the day and the night? Im Shiva lo Lituma lo Yishve lo Likorban. He said, listen, the magic of Tahor blood, right? Because Mida Oraita, any blood that a woman has during that time is Tahora, even if she's bleeding. Right, she's gushing blood, doesn't matter, right? She is tahora to her husband, right? But that magic of blood ends when it already ended at night, right? So if she starts bleeding on day 81 at night, she's tmeya. So you see that the status of yoledet ended already at night, right? So midigam. And Beit Shammai disagrees. Now, that's very... He disagrees with the relevance for Karban, which, of course, is going to get to the question is how much are these connected, right? There are two ramifications of day 80 and 81, which is the Chiyuv Karban and the Tahara of the blood. But Hillel clearly thinks that they are connected. Beit Shammai does not obviously think they're connected. Very good. But why did the Gemara bring this very, 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 very convoluted case? Because it uses the word or to talk about night, that's all. Shma mina or to who? Don't you see that or is night? Shma mina. Yes, you do. Thank you. That's it. What? Oh, yes. So, because or is Hebrew, or to is Aramaic. Made what? Is what is? Don't you agree that for the purposes of Tumah and Tahara of the blood, the cutoff point was the night? So why do you think that the cutoff point of the carbon is the day? Well, everyone agrees that the carbon is brought during the day. The question is, correct. The question is, does the chiyuv carbon start during the day? Or to start at night, but you can't practically bring it at night, so you bring it during the day. Well, that's what Beit Hillel says, is that the chiyuv of carbon exists at night, you just can't bring it till the day. No, so this is a very wide, this is a widespread machloket of whether we, how do we look at mechusar zman at night and things like that. Yes, this is a very broad, far-reaching.
Oh, yes. Why is the Gemara bringing in like 8,000 different mitzvahs?
Because it is. And that's why I'm running through it. Meitve, because I wanted to get to a point. Meitve, yachol nechal, or lishlishi. So now we're talking about carbon shlamim. A carbon shlamim is eaten on 2 days and two nights. The Gemara says maybe it's eaten on or lashlishi. V'dinu zvachim nechalim liyom echad shlamim nechalim l'shnei yamim. And he'd prove it because normal some carbonat are brought for 1 day. So shlamim for 2 days. Ma lalan laila achar hayom afkan laila achar hayom. Right, and there it's night following day. So here should be night following day. Talmud lomar no v'yom zvachim yechalim acharad v'anotar hayom. But od yomu nechal is only eaten during the day. Then nechal le'or ha'shalishi, and it's not eaten on the or of the third day. So the Gemara says yachal misareif miyad. So wait a second. If you can't eat it on night three, then shouldn't it be notar already, and you should burn it at night? What does the Gemara say? No. Even though it becomes asur to eat at night, it only becomes notar, and you burn it during the day. Yes. Yochel Yisraif Miyad. What? Nope. Or maybe he does, or maybe he doesn't. And guess what? That is... Yeah, do you know how much of this Masechta is dedicated to that topic? A lot. Yochel Yisraif Miyad. V'dinu Zvachim Nechal L'yom V'layla Echad. Zvachim are brought for 1 day, 1 night. Shlom Nechal L'shem Yilay Echad. Ma'alalan Tekev L'achila Sreifa. And there, the ability to eat it and flows directly into the Chiyuv to burn it. Afkan take of lachila sreifa. So here too, they should be linked. Talmud lomar, no. They don't have to be linked. There's a period where you can eat it, but you still, it's not notar. Or it is notar, but it can't be burnt. right? There are two ways of looking at it. Either it's notar without a chiyuv srifa, or it's not notar at all. Talmud lomar v'notar mi v'sar zevach azevach v'yom ha'shlishi v'ishi saref v'yom ha'dasar v'yadasar v'balayla. And again, the Gemara says, mit gamar yehe ne'echal or la'shlishi alma or to who? Yes, shema mina. Great. Next one. It is night. Tashma, one more proof. Or shel Yom Kippurim, at the night of Yom Kippur, mitval sheva umitvadeh. You daven seven brachot in the Amidah, and you say vidui. Shacharit mitval sheva umitvadeh. B'musav mitval sheva umitvadeh. B'mincha mitval sheva umitvadeh. B'arvid mitval el mi'ein shmonasar. And then at Mariv of Motzai Yom Kippur, you say mi'ein shmonasar. What's mi'ein shmonasar? An abridged version of shmonasar. Esrei. Rechanina ben Gamliel Omer Mishum Avotav Mitbalel Shmonasar Shleimot Full Shmonesrei Mibnei Shetzarech Lomar Avdala Bechonin Adat, because you have to say Atachonin Alma or to Shmamina Shmamina. Very good. Now it happens to be that that little tiny little line there is amongst the weirdest lines. So, oh, exactly, right?
Shemar 2 days long.
Because you would die.
No, we can talk about that for about 3 days.
Yeah, well, the Gemara says because it's dangerous. That is why it is.
Oh, wait, is Mars actually good for our health?
Yes. What? Yes. Yes.
I'm not going to answer that one question. There's an analogy that basically there's like this rebellious.
This is very, this is very, very fun, but I'm not going to get into it now. But there is a tiny little fascinating machloket, which I will just mention very, very briefly because it is among the weirder machloket that I've ever seen. What do you mean, do we ever say it? Yeah, of course.
Where?
What do you mean?
The title of the Rabbi Yosef talked about the specific abridged version of an essay.
I don't understand the problem. What?
No, you talked about it. Does it mean the name
of an essay? Yeah, what do you mean, what does it mean? There's two. There's Me'ain and there's Havineinu. There's an entire book written just on Havineinu. Right, Broyd wrote a book just on Havineinu. It's one of them, yes. Fine. So the the Gemara here again proved that or means night, obviously, because or was when you said Mariv, and then you do Shachar and Mincha and etc. Now there is a little bit of a little bit of a strange thing going on here. Which is why exactly would the Gemara suggest that you say, why would you suggest that you say a shorter Shmon Esrei on Motzai Yom Kippur? Okay, who says that? Who says that? I'm asking you, who says that?
Who says what?
Who says that the reason that you don't daven the full Shmon Esrei on Motzei Yom Kippur is just because people are hungry? Are you all just guessing? Okay. What? No, I'm just throwing it out there to. I want to read it to you. One second. No, I didn't give it to you. I didn't give this to you. So look, basically there are two shitot here. So if you look at second, so it's not actually here. I don't expect you to know it because it's not here, but like pull up the other place where it says it. Second. And I guess we'll end with that, which is good because it'll get us basically up to the Lashon Nekiyah, right? Because just so you know, right, the next one that the Gemara is going to ask, right, we'll stop here after this. The next one the Gemara brings up is our case, is, right, mates. And then the Gemara is going to finally, after all of this, ask the question, which is, why do we do this, right? Well, no, why do we call it or, which creates this, right, this confusion, right? So the Gemara says, right, so the Gemara is going to say, because we don't want you to speak b'lashon megune, right? We don't want you to speak b'lashon megune, and what, or we want you to speak b'lashon naki. So the sugya I want to deal with tomorrow is, what? We want you to speak cleanly, and the word or that is nicer than Lila, which is dirty. Well, that's the sugya I wanted to get to, right? Because this is, because people, the first day of yeshiva, people were asking me on that Shabbos, well, what is the halachic problem with using foul language? And I said, oh, well, that's a sugya on Daf Gimel. And therefore, I said, I would get to it. And that's what I want to do. So that's what we're going to do tomorrow. What? And that's exactly what we're going to get to, yes. Say it again? Kerem Navot? Yo, that's, well, we use this a lot, right? Correct. Right, so that's what we're going to. Yeah. What do you mean? Oh, so that's an interesting question. It's always hard to tell like what the point is of.
Yeah,
that makes sense. I'm glad that he appreciated as much as I do, yeah. Okay. But anyway, so that's the... Okay. So, but what, but still, right, the, very, very briefly, the sugya I wanted to do is, why is it that on Motzei Yom Kippur you would say to Davin a Me'ein Shmoneh Esrei? Why would you do that? Why would you Davin a Me'ein Shmoneh Esrei on Motzei Yom Kippur, right? The Gemara is quoting this position that on Motzei Yom Kippur, you daven me'ein Shmoneh Esrei, right? You daven this abbreviated Shmoneh Esrei. So why would you do that? Right, so you could say that this comes back to Moshe's point before, right? You could just say, like, practically, like, didn't you just spend all day, all day davening or something like that. You could definitely do that. What? No, he definitely didn't say as many as we do. That's true. What? They went slower. What do you mean? mean, maybe. So the Rashbam says something very surprising. Okay? The Rashbam says, so the simple pshat is what? What's the simple pshat? What's the simple pshat in this sugya? Right? No. What is the simple pshat and why you would not daven the whole Shmona Esrei on Motzei Yom Kippur? What's the simple pshat there?
You want to eat
food? Yeah. That's exactly. That's what Rashi says. Where's Moshe? It's because of Rashi. Rashi says, because it's been a long day. People have to get home, right? So we say, Davin, shorter Shmona Esrei, right? That's what Rashi says, right? The Rashbam has a wild shot. And the Rashbam says, no. Tosafot quotes him on Yoma, Pei Zayin Amabet. And he says, Perish Rashbam, Taima Mishum, Dechevan Dakati Hu Betainet, Chashav Kiyoma Kippurim. Well, have you broken your fast yet? No, so it's like Yom Kippur, Lachem Baal Shefa. So what's the problem?
Well, you have broken your fast.
No, you haven't broken your fast. So it's like Yom Kippur, but it's chol. So what should you daven? 18. So what do we do? Compromise. That the period, the Rashbam comes up with this wild shot that before you break your fast in Motzei Yom Kippur, but once Yom Kippur is technically over, but before you break your fast, it's a... It's Chatzi Yom Kippur, Chatzi not Yom Kippur. So what's the compromise? You daven Ming Yudchet. Right? Because it is essentially some sort of continuation of Ne'ilah or something,
that,
right?
Does that apply for like Arab, like mostly Yom Shabbos, mostly?
Right, so that's the problem. You've got to figure out where this will be. But the Rashbam has this interesting, very interesting suggestion over there. Okay, but as we'll see tomorrow, and this is what we'll pick up, that if you just continue, right, the Gemara says, Tashma, the final proof is, Detani Rebirei Debei Shmuel, Leila Arbas are both going to come into Or Haner, Alma Or Urtehu, right, you search by candlelight, so you see it's night, Elo Bein Rav Huna Bein Rav Yehuda, Dechule Alma Or Urtehu. So everyone agrees that the word Or means night. Velo Pligi, they were never arguing. Marki Atrehu, Marki Atrei. So after this, there is no machalkot. They were saying night the way they said it in their place. Deravuna karu nage, uva adrav Yehuda kari lele. In Rav Huna's place, they called it nage. In Rav Yehuda's place, they call it lele. Vitani didan, my time aloktani, lele. And now the final point, which is what will lead us into the sugya tomorrow, is why didn't the Gemara solve this whole problem by just calling it Laila? Because, you know, Laila, everyone knows what it means. Where it says, Lishnam al Yehuda Nakat, it was speaking a clean language. Ukri Yeshua ben Levi, the Amr Yeshua ben Levi, La'olam al Yotzi Adam, Davar Meguna Beviv, you should never say something which is not nice from your mouth. And then the Gemara goes on to prove it. What I want to do tomorrow is deal with this sugya. So this sugya, if you just look, read the next Amud, basically. Right? Until, basically next three quarters of an Amud.
Wait, but what's so bad about Laila?
That's what we're going to deal with tomorrow. So read like the next three quarters of the Amud, and I'm going to give you a Makarochi, which I'm telling you is long. Don't worry, you can't through all of it, but this is like a lighter sugya. And the problem is when it's like a lighter sugya, people write more.
To make it more complicated.
Verbose and whatever. So the Makar are much longer than anything you've yet had. But let us stop there, okay?